Assalam and good evening to you, worthy friend. Please, please, come closer.
Too close, a little too close.
Hello and welcome to episode 55 of the Disney Brit Podcast for Wednesday, the 24th of November 2010. And for those of you, it's Thanksgiving tomorrow in the US. We wish you a very happy Thanksgiving, but those of you in the UK, we've got to wait until Christmas, unfortunately. So what have we got for you on this edition of the show? Well, as always, Juz and Craig join me as we take a brief look through the news and rumours for both Walt Disney World and Disneyland Paris. And then we're continuing with our series of Around the World in 80 segments, where we're going to hop on board that monorail and head over to the Contemporary Resort, where we look at the shopping, we look at the dining, and we look at the accommodation available over there at the Contemporary. And that's pretty much the whole show. So without any further ado, let's get on with this edition of the Disney Brits Podcast.
Vacation Villas, Central Florida Vacation Home Rentals and Property Management Services. If you are looking for your perfect vacation villa, get in touch with this friendly family-run business, which will go out of their way to make sure your vacation of a lifetime is just that. If you already own a villa in Orlando, then let Columbus take care of everything whilst you are away, giving you complete peace of mind. Check out www.columbus-vacations.com and discover a new world.
Hello and welcome to the news and rumours for this edition of the show. And joining me, well, I said joining me as always, it's not really been as always recently because we've had all sorts of people missing, but the whole gang's together, of course. Hello, Juz.
Hello, Adam. Hello, Disney pod people.
Oh, I haven't been missing, have I?
Didn't you miss one recently?
Did I? I think so.
Yes, because you didn't listen to the show even though you were missing. It's the first show in about three, I think, we've had everybody together.
Well, why wasn't I here?
I don't know.
You was in Windsor.
There you go, you're in Windsor.
That was ages ago.
And there's a voice that I've not even introduced yet. Look at that. It's just, he's been away for a week. He forgets the etiquette of being...
Apologies.
I'm going to have to start again now. Hello, Craig.
Hello, Adam. Hello, Jazz. Hello, everyone else. Yes, I'm back. Have you missed me?
We have missed you, yeah.
Oh, have you? I was, you know, that was kind of a leading question, wasn't it? Because you were going to say, no, not at all.
Yeah, we ruined that then, didn't we, eh?
Well, I haven't missed you because I spoke to you last week.
I know you did, bud.
That's true. Yeah, on FaceTime. I still find it slightly weird that you were talking to Juz on FaceTime while you were topless in bed with your wife, which is a bit strange.
I was topless, she wasn't. No. It was all wrapped up warm, but I get very hot, so...
You're very hot.
It was funny.
And I've got a cold.
Good wrap, though, Juzzy Bear.
It's brilliant.
Don't care.
And we've had iOS 4.2 nightmares tonight, but it's all fine. We are here, and we're going to do the news. We've got an abbreviated news this week, because we're going to bring to you our next Around the World in 80 segments later on in the show, which has got a huge amount of info in it. So we've gone for the most important pieces of news that have come out from Disney in the past couple of weeks, and we're going to bring those to you, and then we're going to talk a little bit about them, and then we're going to move on. So, Juz, we're going to start off with you, because in the past few days, Disney have announced just what they are doing with Pleasure Island.
Yeah, they're building some stuff.
Yeah.
you said keep it brief.
Yeah, a little bit more, that might be nice.
All right, they're building Canary Wharf.
Alan Sugar's moving in, they're going to be doing The Apprentice from there.
Yeah, it's basically lovely concept arts come out where Adam's favourite adventurers club and all that lot and all his little plaques. So we're all going to get knocked down and Hyperion Wharf is about to be built. It includes loads of shopping, food, big picture of Mickey Mouse. See, I'm looking at the concept art. I know this stuff. It looks really, really cool. It's taken a sort of an early 20th century port city. Bit familiar again, sort of boardwalkish.
Yeah.
Dash amusement pier. They needed to do something there. It looks very stylish. I'm not even going to go for the fact that, ooh, Hyperion's the Greek god. And it's rubbish, that. It's just named after where Walt Disney built his first animation studio. It's got nothing to do with the Greek god.
Well, they're going to put load of light in, aren't they?
So there's always lights there. Disney has lights. And I go, ooh, look at the god of light. It's got lights. It's got lights. And this probably explains why they actually built a new substation, didn't they?
That's a very good point. They did
which actually doubled the capacity that they ever needed in the first place. Anyway, so it's probably because they needed to do the Greek god of light. But no, it looks really, really good. There's loads of expansion doing there. I'm pleased. I'm still sad that we've lost Adventurers Club, but you know things are going to be changed. There's also renovation of the Lego Imagination Center, which will increase its overall footprint by nearly 3,500 square feet. Enhancements at the AMC Theatre.
Yeah.
Now you can interrupt.
Okay.
No, it's just and there's numerous renovated retail stores. And it'll be finished by. it'd be finished by 13 minutes past 8.
Yeah. 2013, fine. This Lego Imagination store that they're now obviously increasing this by quite a huge amount. Do you think there's something here? There's some underlying thing to do with new Legoland Florida?
No.
Okay. I just wonder whether there's some sort of agreement here with Disney. You know, obviously they've got Legoland Florida opening was like 2012, and whether this is no, it's the end of 2011, I think, isn't it? Whether this is something linked to that. Disney are trying something very clever. I don't know. What do you think?
So it'd be really funny if...
I was asking Craig.
I'm starting now. It'd be really... my news story, I think it'd be really bizarre for Disney to sell another park's tickets. I don't think it's ever been done before on site.
Ooh. I don't think they'll do that, but I reckon they spat their dummy out about the losing of people from their Legoland in downtown Disney that probably brings them in a fortune. And so they've struck a deal to get more floor space. The thing that kind of gets to me, though, about this Hyperion Wharf thing is they're still keeping ride makers in that massive building rather than do something interesting with it.
Or for now, you know, anyway.
It kind of looks like it's still going to be there, doesn't it, from all the other bits and bobs. So do something useful with it. I think still a whacking great big kind of interactive Apple store or something would be good.
Oh, no, thank you. I tell you what, actually, they're giving Lego the extra land because they're taking the dinosaur Loch Ness Monster out of the water to make way for a new water show. And part of that concession has been, well, we're going to take it out of here. We'll give you an extra bit of space because we're going to have a water show every night.
What water show is this?
They're going to have a massive fireworks display.
Are they?
Yes.
You just made this up, or is it something you know that I don't know?
Did you read about it, Adam?
I might have made it up.
Yes.
I've got a clue. But people said it might happen. You did the other day.
This is a new segment.
It's Downtown
called...
Disney Delight Show. It's going to be on. It's going to be on at 6 o'clock every night in the evening.
Yeah.
This is a new segment to the show.
DDD show.
Called Just Is Fake News.
No. I dreamt it.
Actually, no, what they're going to do is they're going to burn a Duffy Bear every night as a sacrifice.
That's what they do to that ride shop. They just make it Duffy Shop and you go in and get Duffy Bears. It's Duffy outfits.
The new AMC Theatre thing sounds interesting, though. They're changing it from, apparently, because I didn't realise it was named the Pleasure Island AMC Theatre, and it's now going to be known as the Downtown Disney AMC Theatre. But for us, they're putting a fork and screen theatre in, which is cool.
A what?
A fork and screen theatre.
You've got to be careful how you say
you are. Really. Which is where there's less seats, but now you get a table and you get a waitress who comes and brings you food and you can eat and stuff while you're watching a film.
Isn't that sci-fi diner?
It's a bit like a TV dinner.
But there is going to get in the way of the projection. You're going to be down in front, love, as she's coming past with a tray of hot dogs.
Don't like that. Silly idea.
And she's crawling along and then that just starts saying else off. So she's not doing that.
Anyway, right, shall we move on?
Just this little hand coming up on your table with nachos.
Only soft food is allowed. Nothing that makes a noise. Is it me or I don't like? Okay, it's fine. I don't like the name Hyperion Wharf. I just don't like.
Well, apparently, yeah, Disney will change it. If Adam doesn't like it, then Mr. Know-It-All will have to change.
Sounds like a Michael Jackson song.
Sounds like Canary Wharf.
It just sounds like I don't know. I just don't like Hyperion Wharf.
It but it's a wharf, and they're calling it Hyperion.
I get that, and that's fine, because it's supposed to be this dockside area, and it's supposed to be 1920s and 30s, and that looks brilliant. And I get the wharf bit. I just don't like Hyperion. I just think...
So what do you want? Disney Wharf.
This... D-Wharf. Dwarf.
Dwarf. That doesn't make it... That's stupid. Are you thinking Snow White connotation?
Yeah.
Off to the dwarf for a drink.
Off to dwarf.
Yeah. Off to dwarf for a drink.
Off to dwarf. I don't know. Anyway, let's leave that behind, shall we? Because that's just... We're just getting...
Silly. Leave the dwarf behind.
We'll leave the dwarf behind. And we're going to be staying in Downtown Disney because the new Polo Campero store has opened. It's sort of a Latin American style fried chickeny sort of grilled chickeny place. It's quite nice inside. The food sounds pretty good. Just to give you some idea of some of the menus and things that are going on. You can create your own meal in there. You can have like a two-piece signature fried chicken or citrus grilled, or there's chicken strips that then have you build your own feast, which has got the same sort of thing, except for you get a larger portion of it. And they get sides as well, things like black beans and white rice. They've got plantains, they've got yucca fries, they've got French fries, they've got coleslaws and all that sort of stuff as well as burgers and hot dogs. They've also got in there a place called Fresh Appeal, which is all of your salads and all those sort of things as well. And something that's brand new that I'd never heard of before, actually, called Baby Cakes NYC, and this is a brand new bakery that's going to be opening in the same building. But the interesting thing about this bakery is that it is a vegan bakery. Which means
point it's B.
Completely dairy-free, gluten-free, the whole lot.
Taste-free.
Well, no, apparently not. The food here is supposed to be pretty good. I was listening to some stuff, reading some stuff the other day about it, who were saying that you couldn't tell the difference.
Oh, I could.
I'm sure you could.
I like my cupcake with a sausage or a bit of cow on it. I'd taste the difference.
But they've got things in there like cupcakes and cakes. They've got vanilla cupcakes, carrot, chocolate, red velvet. They've got loaves like banana, chocolate chip, and zucchini loaf. That's an interesting one. Lemon poppy. I didn't read that one before now. I've just seen it and gone, what? Aubergine loaf. They've got loads of cookies in there, cookie sandwiches. They've got these crumb cakes that are supposed to be amazing. I actually think this sounds quite cool. Gluten-free brownies are supposed to be amazing. But this is the new Baby Cakes NYC, which is going to be opening in that same building as well. They're around about sort of $4.25 for a cupcake. Cookie sandwiches are about $5. Cookies are about $1.50. So they're fairly decent price. I like the sound of this, and I quite like the fact that we've got a bakery in Downtown Disney now. Just me. Okay, that's fine. But that's all now open, although it's not officially opening. It's supposed to be in soft openings. The chances of it sort of closing now are fairly slim. Right, let's jump on a plane, head over to Disneyland Paris. We've got a couple of bits of news we want to share with you. Craig.
Oh, me? Okay, yeah, right. Okay. Extra discount voucher for Dream pass holders. Dream annual pass holders will get the opportunity now to go shopping in Disneyland and get a little nice 30% discount instead of the usual 20%. I'm good at percentages, so I know that's 10% more. Or 50% more on the old discount. Because it's 10% at 20. You like that?
Fifty extra percent.
Yeah, 50% free. All you have to do is go and buy something in the shop, which kind of helps if you want a discount. Show your dream card, and you will get an extra voucher that will give you a chance to redeem the discount from the 20th through 20th of November to the 3rd of December. Now, the extra discount vouchers are already given to the Dream Pass holders at the time when you buy an item in one of the shops and show your pass. It's a bit complicated, this, but it's kind of like how it worked in Disney World when you were getting your food vouchers. I think you're going to get a voucher when you buy something. To be able to use 30%, guests will need to make a purchase, a minimum of €35. So maybe you could buy yourself some new pictures, Adam, from there or something.
Yeah. Oh, here we go again.
While a regular. That's basically it. The rest of it's all blah blah that you can read. But you're going to get a nice extra 50% more on your discount for a limited period.
That sounds cool. Shame I'm not a Dream Pass holder anymore, but that would have been cool when I used to be, but never mind. One big piece of news from Disneyland Paris, though, we thought would be really important to share with you, is that the Once Upon a Dream parade route is going to be changing as of the 7th of January. There's some road pavement that they're going to be relaying in Fantasyland, which means there's going to have to be a change not only to the parade route, but also to the amount of floats that are going to be coming out. There is usually 8 floats on the parade, but it's going to be going down just to 5 between the 7th of January and ending in March sometime during 2011 when they finished relaying that pavement in Fantasyland. It means now that the parade route is not going to change as such up in Main Street. It's still going to work the same way in Main Street, but instead of sort of making its way right up through Fantasyland past sort of Bella Notte and up towards It's a Small World and then turn a right, it's actually going to be just going up past the Fantasyland Theatre, and then just as it gets to the entrance to Fantasyland, there's like a path which you can go down which connects I'm trying to think where it connects now. I think it connects to Discoveryland. It's going to be taking a right down there now instead of going all the way, so there's going to be a slightly yellow. Oh no, actually, do you know what? I'm talking absolute rubbish. I'm talking rubbish. Ignore me. It's not going to be going all the way up that way. What it's actually going to be doing is it's going to be going from the Discovery Arcade in Main Street, USA. It's then going to go up around the Castle Hub, and then it's going to go back down Main Street. It's going to go out the same door that it basically came in from. So ignore that, everything I've just said. It's going to be going on Main Street only. This is what happens when we suddenly all have to start and it all goes horribly wrong. So this is going to be the 5 parade floats that are going to be going up Main Street, round the Central Plaza, back down Main Street and back out again. So it's going to be a bit of a squeeze for those few months, what with everybody now having to cram on Main Street USA. And as far as we know, there's still only going to be one showing a day. And it's interesting that this means that, you know, that they're currently, they've got the Sun are doing their 4 people for £9.50.
yep, call the vouchers here to sell that.
Are you going to be doing it? Cool.
Well, I don't know.
Okay, it does mean that during that time when hordes of UK people are going to be going to the parks possibly for the first time, they're only going to have Main Street to watch the parade from, which may cause a few issues. There we go. Yeah. So you've got your vouchers. Jez, have you got yours?
No, I worked it out. I thought it was a bit of a cod. It was cheaper to do it normal way.
Yeah, so we looked at it and it was £9.50 for 1 day return in a car with a ferry for 1 day ticket. But then it was £99 is the cheapest for 1 night in a hotel, which actually worked out at £100 and something. And we're going in May anyway for the half term. And we looked at that and thought, yeah, it doesn't quite work out as cheap as we thought it would. But there you go.
Don't forget that I'm a lot nearer than you two, though. So, you know, it could be that we just get up early, drive, bish bash, get there and drive home again. Yeah. Or alternatively, what I was going to look at was I haven't read the terms of the offer. So I don't know whether you've got to take the ferry or not, but maybe we could take a cheap EasyJet flight and do that instead. But
yeah, that's possible.
Have a look. I'll look into it. I've got my mum to collect the tokens for me. Excellent. So at least I'm there.
You don't even have to buy the paper, which is even better. Right, there we go. That's all of the news that we wanted to share with you because we want to get on with our Around the World in 80 segments.
Woo.
Where was your woohoo, Jess?
It was a short news, so woo.
Oh.
Holiday season is once again upon us, and as usual, it's a time where we should think about those who are less fortunate than we are and try to make a difference in their lives. Over 60 years ago, Walt Disney became one of the original sponsors of the Toys for Tots Foundation, which ensures that every underprivileged child receives a toy during the holiday season. Walt and his animators personally designed the original Toys for Tots train logo that is still used today, and the first poster ever created for the group. In this spirit, WDW News Today, the WDWNT Network, and our many friends and partners are putting on a 24-hour live broadcast to raise money for Toys for Tots. We hope you'll join us beginning at 9 p.m. Eastern Time on November 26, 2010, when the broadcast begins, and we certainly hope you'll help us by making a donation to this great cause. The broadcast is taking place at WDWNTunes.com. That's WDWNTUNES.com. Again, starting at 9 p.m. Eastern Time on the 26th and running until 9 p.m. Eastern Time on November 27, 2010. Thank you for your time, and we now return you to your regularly scheduled program.
Please stand clear of the doors. Por favor, manténganse alejado de las puertas.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're approaching the Grand Canyon Concourse Station. For those of you standing, please hold on to the handrails and stay clear of the doors until the monorail stops completely and the doors open. If you're exiting, please gather your belongings, watch your head and step, and take small children by the hand. We're now entering Disney's Contemporary Resort.
It is time for our next edition of Around the World in 80 Segments. And on the last edition of the show, we took a trip around the Polynesian without Craig. And he's joined us now. We found him stood wandering at the monorail station at the Contemporary Resort, having no idea where he's going. So we've picked him up and we've come inside the Contemporary Resort because we're now going to have a look round and let you know all the stuff that goes on there. We've also got another challenge that's going on today as well. Juz is currently sat with a 390-gram bar of Galaxy, and his challenge is to try and eat the whole thing before we finish the segment. So are you up for that, Juz?
Sorry,
what? Right, so we're going to carry on around the world in 80 segments with our Magic Kingdom Resort hotels, and we're going in order of when they opened. So, of course, we started off at the Poly, and then 4 hours later, the Contemporary opened, so we're going to be heading there. So just to let you know roughly whereabouts it is. So it is located between Bay Lake and the Seven Seas Lagoon. It's on the monorail loop that serves the Magic Kingdom. You've got the two monorails. You've got the one that stops at the TTC, and then you've got the Direct Express monorail. So that's the express one. And you've got the Resort monorail, which is the one that a lot of people will get if they're staying at the Contemporary. So there's sort of several elements to this, and we're going to talk to Craig a little bit later about the Bay Lake Tower, because you've been in, haven't you, Craig?
I have been in Heads and Eyes Round, yes.
I've been in the rooms, but I've not been in the tower. So it'd be interesting to talk about that. So we've got the large A-frame section, which is the main tower itself. You've now got the garden wing, which is the south wing. You used to have a north wing, but they bulldozed that to put Bay Lake Tower in. So you've got the south wing there. The fourth floor of the tower is known as the Grand Canyon Concourse, which is where most of your shops and restaurants and the monorail station, things like that are. I'd be interested to hear your opinion on the massive mural, because Mary Blair, who did a lot of the artwork and stuff for It's a Small World, did this huge mural that goes on one of the walls, and it's absolutely massive, and I love it. And Zoe's like, I can hear you eating your Galaxy. I love it, and Zoe's sort of like, it's all right. But what do you guys think?
Go on, Craig.
Do you know what? It must be so undescript that I just can't locate it in my mind, and I've spent hours on that concourse looking around. Just... I'm probably put off by the people with the big Mickey hands waving you into the Fantasia shop.
Can I just say I'm the spoiled child getting dragged around, because I really dislike this. Intensely, this resort.
You see, I really like the Contemporary. I've never stayed in it. I don't know, Craig, have you stayed in Contemporary?
No, I haven't stayed in it. I mean, I've eaten in all the restaurants and spent a lot of time.
Oh, that goes without saying, but you.
But no, I've not stayed in it.
So it's interesting. So none of us have actually stayed in the resort, although it's one of the iconic resorts.
I'd really like to stay in it. I'd put that above Grand Floridian for one to stay in.
Would you put it above staying in the Poly again?
No, I love the Poly to bits. I was kind of sad that I missed it, but yeah, no, I love the Poly to bits. I mean, that's by far the nicest. I don't know, actually, the treehouse feelers were nice. But no, I think the Poly for location was better.
Okay. Anyway, we got completely off the point where we're going. So we've got the Grand Canyon Concourse, which is smack by in the middle, and you've now got the walkway which connects across the Bay Lake Tower, which is the new Disney Vacation Club resort that's there. The one thing about the Contemporary for me is the fact that this is almost a resort in itself, in the sense that it's got what I would say is three fairly good restaurants. It's got a huge amount of recreation there. It's also now obviously got Bay Lake Tower. It's got several stores. It just seems to be an all-in-one encompassing resort, really.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about where you can stay if you go and stay within the Contemporary Resort itself. It has standard rooms, it has suites. Most of the standard rooms come with two queen beds and a day bed, or you can get a king size bed and a day bed as well. They can accommodate up to five people plus a child under three, who you can usually fit in a cot and a crib as well. But then the suits vary in configuration and price, of course. So let's just quickly go through what you get with your room. So if you've got garden wing standard view, then you've got a garden wing garden view and a standard king. And some of these, be careful when it says garden wing and water view and all those, because they're not necessarily what you expect they could be. But rack rates for rooms begin at around $285 per person. You get in there, you get two queen size or a king size, as we've said, a day bed. There's an additional charge, as with most resorts, of $25 per adult per night for more than two adults. You've got flat screen TV. You can get a turndown service, newspaper delivery. There's a vanity area, coffee maker, hairdryer, high-speed internet, ironing board, all that sort of stuff. You get a fridge, which is one of the things you don't necessarily get in all of them, because it's a deluxe hotel. You get a fridge as well, safe, voicemail as always, and all those bits and pieces as well. That's for all of your standard rooms. You get all of those things. You do get deluxe rooms, which are slightly larger, and they offer a view of gardens, pools, the marina, or Bay Lake. From the garden wing, which is the three-story building, which is next to the tower. You get the Tower Bay Lake View rooms. You get a tower theme park view. Now, I don't know how good the views are from those, and whether you guys know anything any different.
No, I mean, let's be honest, the views from some of the balconies are quite fantastic of the theme park, so yeah. It's going to be a good view. You're tied to get, though, it's a side-angle view.
Yeah.
So you're looking at Pops Wars Space Mountain view across that way, so you're not getting that, you know, the poly, that bang on view, even though you're distance of the castle, you're getting more of a side on view.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I would think so.
Which is weird at firework time, isn't it?
Yeah, I quite like the sort of slightly different version of the fireworks you can see from the Contemporary, but we'll come on to that a little bit later anyway. You've then got the club level rooms, which has got pretty much everything we've already mentioned, but then you've got your own front desk and concierge service. You've got your own access to the club level area. You've got refreshments between 7 a.m. and 10 p.m. each day, which includes continental breakfast, snacks, evening wine and cheese, and desserts and things like that as well. So they're all sort of part of that, and each room gets slightly bigger. You've then got one bedroom suites, you've got hospitality suites, you've got Bay Lake View one bedroom suites. It just goes on and on and on, all the way up to what is the creme de la creme, the two bedroom presidential suite club, which is $2,070 a night.
Oh, just book it, hold on.
Right, no, don't bother, I did it, I wasn't that impressed with it.
No, I mean, yeah, sorry, okay,
it right. Came with a president inside it, wasn't impressed.
If you've got George Bush, yeah, send it back.
You do get complimentary high speed internet though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great. Go to Disney World and spend all day on there on the internet.
Trying to book a somewhere to eat. That's what you do. Yeah.
That does sleep up to eight people though. So you know, it still doesn't necessarily outweigh how much. So the Contemporary then, we've got the Contemporary, as we've said, is split into these two different sections. You've got the tower. There's 14 stories to the main tower area. It's got around 500 guest rooms in it. And then you've obviously got, as we said, the two views. You've got the Bay Lake, or you've got the Magic Kingdom in the parking lot. Then you've got the South Garden Wing, which is located, obviously, to the south of the tower. That's got approximately 250. And the garden rooms either have a water garden or parking lot view. If you're looking at where you want to stay, best places to stay, South Wing, work out as closer to the marina, which is where the Sammy Duval sports stuff are, and the swimming pools. I don't know, where would you stay? If you were going to stay there, would you want to stay in the wing, or would you want to stay in the main building?
Main building.
Just?
I wouldn't stay there.
You just wouldn't stay there? No. There's no way we could convince you to stay there?
I'll sleep outside.
Presidential suite.
Which is in the main building. So there we go. But I don't know. I'd love to stay there, but I also love to stay in a lot of other places. I know Zoe's like you, Joe. Zoe really doesn't like the Contemporary at all. She enjoys going for the food there, but that's really about...
Go, Zoe!
Go, Zoe! Yeah. So you've obviously got in the main building, you've got all of the stores. You've got the monorail station itself. You've also got I completely forgot what I was going to say then. You've got all of those elements in that main building. You've got the what I'd be interesting to know is, obviously, the monorail doesn't run all night, but can you hear the monorail from your hotel room? I don't know whether you would be able to or not. I'd be interesting to hear from people who have stayed at the Contemporary as to whether you can hear that or not. I don't know.
Well, living, 100 yards from a train station, I'd be quite used to it.
Well, that's very true. Yeah, we've not heard a train from you for a few weeks, actually.
Well, the winter's here, so the windows are down. The windows are closed. You've got to ask. Wimpy double glazing does its job. I mean, they're electric, aren't they? So I suppose, I don't know, you might hear a hum or something. I don't know.
No, we've got the wheels going, haven't you?
Yeah.
I mean, it's really bizarre that, you know, first time ever we our monorail was cancelled because it had a puncture, and that puzzled me at the time. Because they've got all rubber wheels underneath, haven't they?
Yeah.
So they actually get punctures, which I thought was quite bizarre. I chuckled to myself.
I've just read something, actually, that says on the downside, you find some tower rooms noisy as they are located directly above the Grand Canyon concourse, and the rooms in the wings are a hike from the monorail station. So maybe you do get some of the noise from the monorail from there as well. Okay, how do we get to the different resorts? Well, obviously, we've already talked about the fact that you are right on the monorail loop. So Magic Kingdom is fairly easy. You can walk it. I think it's about a 15-minute walk, or you can jump on the monorail, and that'll take you straight there. If you want to go to Epcot, again, it's dead easy. You just jump onto the monorail that takes you to the transportation ticket center and then jump onto the Epcot line. You have to get a bus from Hollywood Studios. You also get a bus to Animal Kingdom and Downtown Disney. The Marketplace on West Side is all buses as well. One thing though to take into consideration, and this is something that I discovered when I was out there two summers ago, that sometimes the buses to places like Typhoon Lagoon, Blizzard Beach, those sort of places, do go to more than one resort, depending on the time you're going. I went mid-morning when most of the crowds had gone, and I got a bus that went from there, then went to the Polynesian, and then I think went to the Grand Floridian, and then went on to Typhoon Lagoon and Blizzard Beach. So do be aware of that. But you can't really complain about the location of it. It's fairly, you know, central to two of the larger parks in a way, and would be easy to access everything. Mm-hmm. Right, our favourite bit, food.
Get in there.
There are so many options available for staying over at the Contemporary, and we're going to sort of go through all of them. Be interesting to hear which ones you have and haven't eaten in. I was really looking forward to this one because for a change I feel like I know a lot about the places that we're talking about because I've eaten in nearly all of them. You've got The Contemporary doesn't have a food court in the same sense as your All Star Wars do, or your Pop Century, or your Port Orleans, those sort of restaurants. But it does have the Contempo Cafe, which is, I suppose, that sort of style, but it's not so enclosed. It's again on the Grand Concourse, which is the fourth floor. It serves beverages, snacks, and hot items as well. There's a limited service between 6 a.m. From 6 a.m. to midnight, and there's a full service from 7 a.m. to 10 p.m. So then that's midnight to 6 a.m. So 7 o'clock to 10 p.m. they have a much fuller service. They have the coffee shop area, and then all the other bits. Has anybody eaten at Contempo Cafe?
Yes. I had a nagging feeling this is the one which had the electronic boards on when I went.
It has been given a bit of an update.
But yes, I have. I think we just used it for snacks when we were saying, oh, it's horrible here.
Oh. Craig?
Nope.
We've walked past Contempo Cafe many times on the way to Chef Mickey's, but have not actually gone in. But if we look at the breakfast stuff, they do the usual waffles, grilled ham. You've got the usual breakfast platters that they do. Then they've got a nice bakery in there that does your fruits and your cereals. It does your brownies, chocolate chip cookies, all those sort of things. And then at lunchtime, they sort of up their menu to things like flatbreads. You can get salads in there as well. And they do their cold sandwiches as well as their hot sandwiches. And then dinner in the evening, which is usually between 5 p.m. and midnight-ish, you get things like marinated beef flatbreads. They do some pastas in there. They do a hot open-faced roast beef sandwich, which sounds pretty good to me. They also have vegetarian options in there, as well as things like cheeseburgers and all those bits and pieces. We're sort of going to struggle, I suppose, to give any sort of grading to that, aren't we? Because none of us have really stayed in there. So I suppose, Juz, you, out of five, what would you give that?
Well, this is my problem, you see, because we really just had coffee and stuff there, and it was like a cafe area in a mall.
Okay. So you can't really give it anything at all.
I can.
Go on then. What would you give it? You give it a one. Okay. Right, so don't go there. Right, let's move on then. We're going to go to this one. I think there's going to be quite a lot of discussion with regards to this, and it's up on the 15th floor of the tower building.
Ooh.
This is... You're right.
I'm getting hungry.
Hold this in.
I am.
The California Grill. We've all eaten the California Grill, haven't we?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Yes, I've eaten a California Grill a couple of times now. So before we sort of go into the menus and bits like that, let's give our opinion on what we think of California Grill. We'll start off with Craig, because Juz is probably munching Galaxy.
Yeah, well, I've only eaten there once, and it was our 10th wedding anniversary, so it was kind of a special day. But I absolutely loved everything about it. I was a little bit nervous going in because, you know, the dress code and all of that sort of malarkey. But no, we had the kids with us as well. But brilliant. We went in, you know, you go up in the elevator and you go in, and we had a nice drink and sat down and had a great view looking over the park. And the kids really enjoyed that. Really nice kind of cocktails, and the kids had nice drinks, had a great table. Service was brilliant. The food I just loved. Wasn't a lot, and it isn't cheap. You know, because I was paying for no dining plans or anything like this. But, you know, really nice. They had the kind of filet steak or filet mignon. The kids all both had steaks, which they loved. Great potatoes, great beans, really good service. I just loved it. And afterwards, you know, you pop outside and see the fireworks. It was like going, to me, it was like going into London for kind of a nice night out at one of the nice restaurants there and having a good meal. You pay for it, and understandably you pay for it, but you know, it was nice arriving by monorail, you know, going back to the Polynesian by monorail. I just loved it, couldn't fault it at all.
Just
no, you go first.
Okay, well, because you're still eating chocolate. I really enjoyed California Grill. When we went on honeymoon, this was sort of our big splurge sort of dinner, which did cost a small fortune. I'm not going to deny that. But the food is absolutely stunning. And I sort of, Craig was just talking a second ago about this idea of how the atmosphere is quite, not expensive, that's the wrong, the atmosphere is quite upmarket, I suppose, in a way. But also at the same time, it's this really bizarre mix, I find, of upmarket, but also quite casual. Because we obviously went, we dressed up because we wanted to make a night of it, and it'd be our sort of special meal. But also, you saw kids sat in there in just their shorts and the T-shirt, drinking out of the paper Mickey cups. So although they tried to keep that sort of more, not casual, but more sort of semi-smart casual atmosphere, there's no problem with people turning up in less casual outfits. Obviously, they accept the dining plan as well, which is really great. And it's just that I love the atmosphere in there. I love the view that you get. If you're really lucky enough to get a view of the Magic Kingdom from a window, you were sat right by there, you'd be able to see the Magic Kingdom. And then one of the biggest, I think, draws for a lot of people is the fact that if you're there in the evening when the fireworks are going to be happening, you can go out and watch the fireworks, which we'll talk about in a little while. But one of the things to point out about California Grill is that it's only open for dinner. It doesn't open for breakfast or lunch. It's only open for dinner. So obviously places are limited. This is one of those restaurants where you have to ring up right on your deadline to make sure that you get the time that you want. The good thing is that the 180 days now, Disney are pretty good at releasing the times of when you've got the fireworks happening. So you've got some idea of what you're looking for. Also, the other thing to do, and this is something we've done before, is look back at the historical data of the opening times of the parks for the year before, because the chances are the fireworks are going to be around the same time. So you can hedge your bets at sort of booking the right time for that. But if you're sort of out by half an hour, it doesn't necessarily matter if you're just about to eat something else, which we'll explain in a minute about how they sort of go about doing that. But I love this restaurant. This was my number one restaurant. It was pipped at the post on my last trip, but I still think it's a great place to go and eat. Juz, what do you think?
Following on from two great reviews,
here we go.
I find it pretentious. I find it not worth the money. I couldn't believe... I mean, we went as a family and we had it on the dining card at the time. I'm just sorry, but when beans come in a line, cuts the same length, there's only five of them, and the family of five then, after they've eaten there and spent a lot of money, have to go and actually find something to eat. It's just, to me, that's just not family. Great if you want to go down there and eat, you know, precocious type food that people like to eat in London. But no, for a family place, I'd rather go and spend $50 or my kids be full up and have a good time. But this ain't it. I really didn't enjoy it at all.
I think you bring up a good point, actually, that it's not the sort of place that people will go for a family meal, so to speak, in the sense that it's not a loud atmosphere. It's quite quiet in there. But I sort of like about that about it in a different sort of way. And also, you know, Harry came with us, and this is another thing that I quite like about it. Harry came with us. He'd already had dinner. We'd made sure he'd eaten. We were eating late, so we knew he would be tired. And if he slept, it didn't matter. And he fell asleep in his buggy, and he slept at the table. And they had no problems with him sleeping in his buggy at the table. Absolutely fine with that. But I do see where you're coming from, just with the sort of atmosphere. A couple of friends came with us who'd never eaten there before, and they felt a little bit uncomfortable. They didn't necessarily like the atmosphere as much. And it's an interesting atmosphere for a Disney restaurant. It's almost like a restaurant that you wouldn't expect to see in Disney in that sense, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I get what Jazzy's saying completely, but you wouldn't go there every week like you would go to, you know, Longhorn or somewhere. It's just not that, you know, it's a very special occasion for us, and I haven't been since. And, you know, if I can go back for another special occasion, that's how I justify it. But, you know, Jazzy, it was $200 for the four of us. You know, it's not cheap meal by any standards, but, you know, it's a 10th wedding anniversary and you were there and there was no other real opportunity to do it. But I kind of get what you're saying. It's not, I suppose it's kind of fine dining Disney style, isn't it? And that is a separate sort of thing. You're going for kind of the quality of the food and the way it's presented to you rather than the amount. But yeah, I mean, it's no good if you have to go out and then spend money on bloody hot dogs, no.
Well, this is my point. You know, I'm not a fan of fine dining, full stop. For me, I want a good tasty food and I want a fair quantity so everyone is happy and full.
How big is that Galaxy Bar?
Yeah, I do not understand the concept that if I can count the veg on my plate, that doesn't constitute as veg in my idea. And I think sometimes, you know, there's some just better places to go. You know, spend half as much money. And from a family, I would say, from what you're saying, brilliant. Yeah, if you want to go in for that hoity-ploity and it's a nice experience. But for a family, I'll say, forget it. Just go somewhere fantastic. Half the price that has a family atmosphere. But I felt from start to finish there that there is a... It's just a funny atmosphere place. It's like Grand Floridian. It does the same. Grand Floridian, I find a bit freaky sometimes.
Yeah, Grand Floridian freaks me out a little bit when I go in there. But I, you're right. It's, I suppose, the most fine dining place in... It's the highest fine dining restaurant in Disney World that allows children.
Oh, can I just point out, though, one thing to be careful of is no matter what you see in there, do follow the dress code, because people have been turned away not following the dress code, and that would really ruin your evening.
The dress code isn't serious, though. We aren't talking here that it has to be a suit, jacket, and trousers. It just,
there's certain things that
smart.
Don't allow, isn't there?
I had shorts and a polo shirt on, but it's, you know, what sort of shorts? You can't have kind of sports shorts on. Yes. It can be cargo shorts and stuff like that. That's fine. It's not so much the children, though. You know, I wouldn't have let, you know, Kieran wear his Spurs shirt in there. It just wouldn't seem right. But, you know, it's not, you have to wear a shirt and tie and slacks and all of those sorts of things at all.
Can I just say it's just not right for Kieran to wear a Spurs shirt? It's got nothing to do with you going to California Grill at all.
I do believe the song is 2-0 and you but we won't go there.
One thing to point out as well, and although you can't really make the mistake of doing this, you don't actually check in on the 15th floor. You check in for the Grand for the California Grill on the second floor next to the escalators, and then what they do is they escort you up in the escalator to the 15th floor. So it's not easily accessible unless you're going up there in a lift. But let's talk about some of the food they've got. So you've got it is available in Dining Plan, I forgot to say. You've got the flatbreads, which are to die for. The barbecue chicken flatbread is absolutely amazing. It sounds quite strange when you hear triple cheese, corn and red bell pepper marmalade and fingerling potato chips. It comes in at $13, so it's not cheap, but it's absolutely stunning. You've got sushi options in there as well. And then you've got your first courses. This is what I mean when we're talking fine dining now. We now have first courses. Things like heirloom tomatoes and marinated eggplant salad. You've got goat cheese ravioli and an Asian rock shrimp salad in there. But then the main courses, there are some absolutely stunning things on the main courses. The veal chop is fantastic. You've got the Florida snapper. There's a grouper on there, a seared chicken. There's a potato and cheese ravioli for your vegetarians. There is the pork tenderloin. And there's also the oak-fired fillet of beef, which has the loaded mashed potatoes, broccolini, and teriyaki barbecue sauce. That comes in at $44, so it's not cheap.
But I could buy a cow for that.
I still maintain, though, that is the best fillet of beef I have ever tasted. There's nothing that beats it. Still nothing. Yes, I know what you mean, Jers. You still get a big plate and you look at it and you can still see a lot of the plate for the food you get. But no matter
I spent years being a butcher. We could do better matured fillet than that.
Okay. I'll challenge you.
Okay.
Well, to Jersey's house for steak and chips.
Yeah, winner. Love it. But that's still the best fillet of beef I've ever tasted. And then we've got some great desserts as well. We've got the apple tart. We've got a strawberry shortcake, bananas and caramel, a chocolate cake, a trio of temptation, and we've got a mascarpone and Meyer lemon cheesecake as well. They also do a cheese board. I'm not going to go into all of those, but you get five different cheeses for $20. But one of the things about California Grill that we need to mention, I think, is that don't go looking online for menus as such. Because a lot of the time, the stuff we've given you is what is currently in season right now. The California Grill menu can change daily. I'm right thinking that, aren't I?
Mm-hmm.
Dependent on what they've currently got and what they can currently get hold of. But also, just to give you an idea of what you can get for children there as well, they've got the mac and cheese, as they have in every other single restaurant. You've got the roasted salmon. They have an oak-fired steak there and chicken breast, and then they have the whole wheat pizza as well, and then they've got all of those, sort of their desserts. If we're going for sort of out of five for this place, then I think there's going to be some interesting scores coming in. Craig?
I've got to give it five. I know it's expensive, but just think, if somebody else was paying Juz, you'd be back there like a shot.
No, I wouldn't.
Juz,
two. Really?
Two? Wow. Wow, he's giving it a two. That's amazing. Gosh. I give it a five, and one of the main reasons I give it a five is because of the fireworks, which we need to mention as well. Obviously, there is for dinner, and you get a great view of the Magic Kingdom fireworks. And actually, from watching the fireworks at the Contemporary, you realise just how far behind the castle they actually set these off. You go out onto the concourse, which is up on the 15th floor, and they pipe the music in.
Now, take your wellies.
Take your wellies?
Because the amount of bird poo up there is unbelievable.
Yes, there is a huge amount of birds up there, I must admit. But what they do, which is really great, is if you're eating and you are expecting to go out and see the fireworks, and this happened to us on our honeymoon, we'd had our starter, and the waiter came up and took our starters away and said, would you be interested in going to see the fireworks out on the veranda? And we said, yes. He said, that's fine. I'll hold your main courses until you come back in. And what they do is, they've almost got this down to a fine art. They prep everything and get everything ready to come out for minutes after the fireworks are finished, because everybody streams back in, sits down at their table, and then literally within minutes, everybody's food is on their table and everyone continues to eat. So it almost becomes part of your evening that they hold those meals for you. You haven't got to worry about, is my food going to go cold if I go out now? They time it. They know exactly what they're doing.
There's only 500 beans. It doesn't take long to cook
them. Now, am I right in thinking, I don't know the answer to this, I tried to find out and I wasn't sure, that if you eat earlier on in the evening...
Mm-hmm. It's what we did.
Yep, so you eat earlier on in the evening, you keep your receipt, you can come back and watch the fireworks up there.
Yeah.
There we go. Excellent stuff, so you can do that. Right, so there's one of our favourite restaurants there. Now, another restaurant that appeared only a few years ago, which is The Wave. This is right down on the bottom floor by the sort of main reception area. It used to be what was sort of an arcade sort of place, and they turned it into what they call a Wave, which is this American-style restaurant or American traditional food in there. Now, Juz, have you eaten in The Wave?
I've seen it and never ate there.
Craig, you've eaten there, haven't you?
I have, yeah. I've had lunch there, yeah.
I've eaten there as well. You've had lunch and I've had dinner, so that works perfectly. So The Wave, what they call... is this, it's supposed to be this American style restaurant. It was interesting when we were talking about this the other day on Facebook, and somebody put on there that this place is has not done as well as it should have done. There's a lot of people who don't understand it, and they put on there, which I found really interesting, that it only seems to be understood by Americans and their families.
Why?
I don't work because it's an American tradition. It's an American sort of...
What, food?
Yeah, the American food. And I sort of... And I loved this place. We did it by complete chance, really. We were on the dining plan we decided we wanted to go somewhere to eat. We got a few dining credits left, and we decided we'd keep some of them and maybe just do spare of the moment dinner. So we went over to City Hall at Magic Kingdom and said, we want a dinner for, I think it was 5 o'clock. What have you got available? They had nothing in the Magic Kingdom whatsoever. And he suggested, he said, well, we do have something for the Wave, which is in the Contemporary. So I thought, all right, we'll give it a go. It was one of those real pleasant surprises of the trip. What did you find, Craig?
You know, I went and it wasn't that busy, actually. We went with our neighbours. And, you know, I did enjoy it. I thought it seemed a bit dark. I can't remember, there was no windows in there.
No, there wasn't any windows in there at all.
It seemed quite dark. It kind of had, although it was done very nice with a very trendy roof, it kind of felt a little bit like I was in a canteen, just the way that there was no kind of window. I mean, it was very nicely laid out. And, you know, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the food. But I was kind—I think I was expecting just something a little bit better from it being within the Contemporary.
Yeah, because this is that sort of restaurant that is down from where the California Grill is, but it's higher than your Contempo Cafe or your Chef Mickey's. Again, interesting you say that, because when we were there, it was also very, very quiet. And some comments that have come up on Facebook this week have said that it never seems to be busy. So it's one of these places that I think is overlooked by a lot of people. But it is open for breakfast, so for lunch, and it's open for dinner. Give you a rundown of what we've got on here for breakfast. We've got the continental breakfast you can have. They've then got like the American breakfast as Eggs Benedict. You've got multigrain pancakes, make your own muesli, which is interesting, French toast, and those bits and pieces. You went for lunch. What did you have for lunch? Craig?
I had the burger.
You went for the Angus. Brilliant. Went to this nice restaurant.
I had the burger because I was convinced that for, you know, $13 or whatever it was, it would be different from what I could get at Pecos Bills.
Right. And was it?
The bun things were slightly different. The burger was the same. Actually, it was a bit too overcooked, if I remember correctly. It was nice. Don't get me wrong. It was nice. But I thought, you know, I think Deb's had the Reuben sandwich. I think she quite liked that.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it was. I just thought, I suppose, you know, only $13 for a burger is quite a lot, but you're in the Contemporary, you could have been paying $20 for a burger. I was just thought it would be a bit more than what it was. But I enjoyed it, though. I mean, I'd go back again.
Okay, so it's not something that put you off. They've got the appetizers there, which we've got things like we've got a lot of sea scallops, a lot of shrimp and crab. There's some salads in there as well. Seems to be quite a fishy sort of link with the appetizers. The entrees, again, we've got chicken stews. There's an Italian chef salad. There's Craig's Angus Chuck bacon cheeseburger. And there's today's sustainable fish. So obviously different fish each day. Then we've got the desserts in there as well. They have specialist cocktails in there. They have organic draft beers. They have a huge wine selection in there as well. I went for dinner. And what I've got to say, and I'll say it now, is that the waitress we had was absolutely amazing. And I'll explain why. She knew customers before they even sat down. She just knew the sort of people they were. And she was absolutely brilliant in what she suggested, and the way she suggested all these different things for us. We went for dinner, as I said. I don't think we had a starter, but the entrees were absolutely stunning. I had a chili rubbed flat iron steak, which was gorgeous. And as well as that, it came with, I think it was rocket or something like that. I can't remember exactly what it was. But before that, I decided I quite fancied the sound of the braised chicken pot pie, which says, the description of it is, with peas, mushrooms and carrots topped with thyme pastry. And I thought, it sounds really great. And she said, just to let you know that this isn't your typical chicken pot pie. This has actually got bones in it. And I went, oh, maybe not then. And then we went to this chili rub flat iron steak, and she said, would you like the rocket, or I think it was, with it? And I said, yeah, I'll give that a go. And she said, just to let you know, gentlemen usually find it's a little bit too bitter for their liking. Maybe you'd like to replace that with mushrooms. And what she did is she brought out a small plate of rocket with it, and she went, give that a try. And I tried it, and she went, right decision. I was like, yeah, exactly right decision. And she was absolutely brilliant in the way that she did it, and she knew exactly what she was doing, and she knew exactly what to suggest, and it was just stunning.
It's probably because the rocket salad was off and the chicken yeah, was off as well. Gentlemen find it a bit sour, as opposed to women who Who don't?
Yeah. No, apparently women or are goats. Quite happy with it, but apparently the men usually find it a little bit too bitter for their tastes. And I was like, I just thought, yeah, whatever, you're talking rubbish. And then she was genuinely right. And
she probably thought, this is a softie.
But she
softies find it a bit sour, sir.
But she turned that from what could have been one of my worst meals of the trip to one of my favourite meals of the trip. She understood the taste of gentlemen and women and understood that maybe that wasn't going to be... Yeah. Not that she eats men and women, but you know what I mean. I thought that was really good. And also the desserts are amazing. We had the creamy indulgence, which are small samples of different puddings, and also the decadent flavours one as well we had, and we sat and devoured those. But the service was there. It was stunning. The food was fantastic. It's one of these places that is so overlooked by a lot of people. And not only that, it's one of these places that's quite easy to get a reservation for as well.
So the only thing I would say, the dinner menu is head and shoulders above the lunch menu. Just comparing the two now, I wondered, I can see now why I went for the burger. There was, you know, limited choice on the lunch thing. That we didn't have the flat iron steak. We haven't got your posh chicken. Those sorts of things weren't on there.
But, of course, the prices go up as well when it comes to dinner to our lunchtime.
Yeah, they're supposed to. I mean, your steak was $22 and the burger was $13, but, you know.
But again, we were on the dining plan, so it didn't really affect the amount we were spending on that, which was good. They got the kids' meals in there. You've got your usual breakfast sort of stuff, but then they've got choices like cheese pizza and the grilled fish of the day. And if I remember rightly, and I've got to remember which one this is, I think you get to make your dessert. If you're a child and you choose the ice cream, you get to make your dessert for your ice cream. I think I'm right in thinking that.
You do. Okay. Like they did at the, you saw the kids do at Le Cellier.
Yes.
They bring you up all the bits and they make it themselves.
There we go. Right. What are we giving this out of 5 then, Craig?
Well, I only did, I think if I went for dinner, I'd probably give it a higher ranking because there's more choice. So I'm going to give it a 3.
Just because it was so quiet, although it made it, I suppose, a bit more romantic and was quite nice, I think I'm going to give it a 4 out of 5 because I don't think it's quite a 5, but it's certainly an excellent restaurant. And then we go on to one which is possibly going to be a bone of contention, I think, between us, which is Chef Mickey's. Just as you've not had anything to say for the past while and you've probably only got 100 grams of Galaxy left, what's your opinion on Chef Mickey's?
What Galaxy?
Oh, it's gone. Right, okay.
Good lad.
You finished it already? That's impressive. Go on then, Chef Mickey's.
When you talk, it drives anyone to either drink or food.
Stop being Disney trick. Go on with it.
No, I didn't like it. Kids didn't like it. Cold environment. No, just don't like it at all. There's a lot better places to go for interaction, with more interaction for the kids. No, I just felt it was a shopping mall once again. End of it, you know. Cold, sort of. No, didn't like it. Wasn't impressed with it. Would never go there again.
Craig?
Yeah, I completely understand what Jos is saying, and I, you know, and it's not my favourite place, and I know many people like it, and I'm not keen for the, you know, the reasons that Jos Bear has said, which is I feel like I am sitting in a hallway having my dinner, and I think that there are better places to go and have a character breakfast inside. But if you haven't got the tickets to go inside a park, I'd probably still go to Bahamas actually and have breakfast.
You just talked yourself out of that.
Yeah, no, I am. I'm just thinking about, you know, yeah. So, it's all right. I mean, it's all right if you want to see your Fab Five, I suppose, isn't it? And you're near there or you're staying near there. But or maybe you want to go there, leave your car there, and then you haven't got to drive into the Magic Kingdom for the day if you're going there. But yeah, it's just odd because you are on the concourse. You are sitting in the middle of nowhere. That's what's weird about it. If they did it, put it somewhere else in the hotel where you was actually in a restaurant, they had it inside the Wave, it would be better.
Right, okay. So you don't like the fact that it's in such an open location?
No, I don't.
See, I like Chef Mickey's, and I like it for two reasons. Harry loves trains and things like that. So when we went to Chef Mickey's, he not only loved the fact that he got Mickey and Donald and Goofy wandering about and coming to see him, but also the fact that he could see the monorails going through every now and again, which he really, really enjoyed. If you sit in the back area of Chef Mickey's, which is more covered, you're not so in the open as you are if you sit further out. And I think that makes a difference for me as to what it's like. because it's more of an enclosed feel the further back you go in Chef Mickey's. But I like it. I like the fact that this is one of the best places to meet all of the Fab Five without having to queue, although that was nearly a dreadful mistake by Disney recently, whether you read about that they took Mickey out of doing the meet and greets and had him stood at the front and he was to take photos. From what we understand, that test lasted a day. And then Disney went, yeah, we can't do that, and they reverted back to what they were doing originally, because the idea was that Mickey would only meet people as you arrived and he wouldn't come round to your tables. And people were like, well, hang on, this is Chef Mickey's, but yet we don't get to meet Mickey unless we're having a photo taken with him at the beginning. What's going on there? This is all a bit ridiculous. So they changed that back straight away. I like the fact that this place can get is quite lively. I love the fact that you get the napkin waving going on every now and again when they play the music and have sort of that mini parade and everyone waves their napkins around in the air. Just make sure you haven't got any food wrapped up in your napkin when you wave it around. Otherwise, you might just kill somebody with a chicken nugget. The foods... I really like the food here. And also, there's a little tip, which is breakfast is served until 20 past 11. If you go for a late breakfast, you can actually get a brunch, because if you get there early enough and they're doing lunch still, which they have been doing, you can sort of start with breakfast and end up eating lunch as well. So you can get like almost two buffets in one. Nobody else? No? Just me.
I'd be full up on the breakfast, so I wouldn't have a chance.
No, that's true. There is a huge amount of breakfast that goes on there. Just give you some of the examples. You've got a fruit bar there. You've got cereal selections. You've then got breakfast specialties. You've got Pluto cheese things. You've got these scrambled eggs. You've got omelettes. You've got Mickey Mouse waffles, bacon. You've got a lot of your original stuff, a lot of your pancakes, those sort of things, sausage links. But also, it's like it was very bizarre, because I remember this quite clearly, that we started off, it was with my niece at the time, she started off with waffles and pancakes and sausage and ended her breakfast with ice cream topped with chocolate, because we'd had that swap over. We'd been there so long, we did that swap over from breakfast to sort of brunch sort of thing. You get a load of pastry stuff there as well, which is really nice. The price for a breakfast, now this again does possibly change depending on the time of the year, comes in at around $26, nearly $27 for adults and $14 for children aged 3 to 9. The breakfast is served from 7 a.m. until 11:20. That's Mickey, Minnie, Pluto, Chip and Dale, though I have seen Goofy and Donald there on a couple of occasions as well. When you get to dinner, certainly you've got the buffet price of that goes up to just over $34 for adults and just over $17 for children. That has Mickey, Goofy, Pluto, Donald and Minnie there. That's from 5 until 9:30 in the evening. And the dinner changes slightly. You've then got your salad bars and your soup. You've got a carvery station. You've got oven roasted chickens there as well. You've got things like raviolis, your pastas, your beans, those sort of things as well. Children, again, macaroni and cheese, pizzas, chicken breasts, chicken tenders, all those sort of things as well. And then they have all the treats like the Rice Krispie treats. You've got your warm beef cobbler and your bread puddings and all that sort of stuff, which is great. Out of five, then, what are you giving it, Craig?
Two and a half.
Really? That low?
Yeah, two and a half.
I don't even want to ask Juz. Go on. Go on, Juz. What are you giving it?
Do you know, I feel bad. I'm going to be really generous here. I'm going to give it two. But I'd say there's a lot better places to go.
Okay, well, I'm going 3.5. Because again, I don't think it's quite as good as The Wave, but I still really enjoy it as a character location. So 3.5 for me. Right, let's just quickly nip over to Bay Lake Tower, just to let you know they've got the Top of the World Lounge. Did you get up there, Craig, to the Top of the World Lounge?
No, I didn't. No, I didn't get that far.
Top of the World Lounge is only open to those who are DVC members. Usually it is DVC members who... you have to have a card to get in there. You can't take guests as well, but if you are a member, you've got the Top of the World Lounge, which you've got your own area up there that you can watch the fireworks from. The music's pumped in up there as well, and they have a small menu up there. You've got like lump crab nachos, which sounds quite nice. Chicken and vegetable summer roll. You've got a flatbread up there. You've got actually several flatbreads up there. And you've also got the creamy indulgence, which is the sort of the dessert trio that you get up there as well. Right, let's just head back over to Contemporary then. There's just a few more things I want to talk about, which is sort of the recreation stuff that you can get over there. They've, of course, have got the swimming pool over there. It's a massive freeform pool. It's got 17-foot slide. There's also a quiet pool, which is quite shallow around the edges, and it gets deeper as you get towards the center, so something a little bit different. There's also cabanas that are available. You can hire them by the hour, or you can hire them daily. It sounds quite cool to me. In there is included a flat screen TV, an iPod docking station, a resort phone, and a mini fridge. There's also two whirlpools that have recently been added to that area as well. And also recently, in 2009, actually, there was a brand new children's water play area that was opened, and they now use them there. Now, question, Juz, can guests swim in the lake? Actually, I'll rephrase that. Should guests swim in the lake?
No, it's bad.
It's very bad for you. There are signs posted. And, of course, no one would ever swim in the lake, would they?
Bad. Naughty people.
Naughty people. Right, so recreation that we've got over there as well. It has what is possibly the largest recreation spot in the whole of Walt Disney World, with the Sammy Duval Water Sports Centre that goes on over there. You can go and head over to www.sammyduval.com, and you can find out all about the things that go on over there. Has anybody done any of the water sports from the marina over in Contemporary?
Don't be silly, that's energetic.
Okay, that's absolutely fine. Right, so all of the things that we've got over there, you've got things like water skiing, wakeboarding, kneeboarding, and tube trips, which go on out there, and they cost around $85 up to $185 per person, and that's for each boat that carries up to five people. So it's not particularly cheap. Also, you've got parasailing that goes on over there. Has anybody ever done parasailing
in real life?
Yes.
I've not managed to find a boat yet that could get to sufficient speed to lift me out of the water.
I've done it in Corfu. It was fantastic, but I was a lot younger then.
See, I've not done it there. I've done it, somewhere like Corfu that I did it. You've got two flights, a regular flight, which is 450 feet, which is about 8 to 10 minutes, and then you've got a 600 feet flight, which is 10 to 12 minutes. Now, it's not cheap. For a single ride for 450 feet for 10 minutes, it's $95 plus tax. For two people, it's 170 plus tax. And then you've got 600 foot is 130 for a single, 195 plus tax for a tandem. All flyers must be 6 years old, and they require to be at least 130 pounds and no more than 330 pound total weight on that particular parachute as well. So not particularly cheap. I would guess the views would be stunning, would they not? Good. Right.
Sorry. I was waiting for Jazzy Bear to say something funny.
I was waiting for Craig to say something funny.
And he didn't say anything funny at all. You've also got personal watercrafts that you can hire as well, things like jet skis, those sort of things. The watercrafts can be capable of holding up to three people. Again, combined weight of about 400 pounds. A guided excursion for an hour is $135. A free ride excursion is $80 plus tax. And $135 plus tax for an hour. Am I right in thinking you can also hire the sort of the water mice from there as well, which I don't think are quite as expensive?
I don't know. I've hired them from Fort Wilderness. I've not hired them from there.
Do you remember how much the Fort Wilderness ones were? Just off the top of your head?
No, not off the top of my head. They were expensive, but I know the fact that I really slowed it down because I was so fat when he said so. I thought he was joking when I got in. He goes, yeah, however you knew. And I told him, it's not going to go very fast, my son. Put your sword. It was right. I did kind of weigh that down. It was scary trying to get out of the way of the big taxis.
Right, okay.
That's another story.
Right, so that's the Duval Sports Centre. If you are really insane and feel the need to have to do any sort of activity while on holiday, the Contemporary does have the Olympiad Fitness Centre as well. That's located up on the third floor. It's also got two large video arcades, two basketball hoops up there as well. There's beach volleyball available outside. There's tennis as well. So, you know, as we were saying, there's a huge amount of recreational stuff that you can do, as well as there being playgrounds and all those bits and pieces as well. Right, shopping. shopping inside the Contemporary, there's three different stores. The first one is for food, which is the Fantasia Market. That's open for a lot of your refrigerated items. It does also sell health and beauty items in there as well, and also newspapers, magazines, etc. And then there's two stores that are very, very close to each other. We've got the Bayview Gift Store and also the Fantasia Store. Have you guys been in either of these?
Yes.
The Fantasia one I have, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Into Fantasia. Have anybody done Bay Lake Gifts? Just me then. Bay Lake Gifts is where you do a lot of your homeware and your collectibles, photo stuff. They do some fudges and some chocolates in there as well. I like this little store. It's got a huge range of clothing in there, actually. And it's quite often I've found if I'm looking for a clothing item and it's not got it in stock somewhere else, I've found it in Bayview Gifts, which is strange for because it's not the world's biggest store, but I sort of quite like it in there. They've got some really nice watches in there, some really, really nice artwork in there as well, which is well worth having a look in there, even if you're not buying anything. But then, in the middle of the concourse, you've got the Fantasia store. I love this store. I just think it's so great that the fact it's open air. The thing is, have you been into the Fantasia store and gone, oh, that's nice, I'll buy that? Or do you just sort of browse through the middle of it because you can?
Just browse through the middle of it because we could.
Craig?
Yeah, no, I think it's the thing with everything. There's very rarely anything unique in one of these stores that you can't get somewhere else on property. So, yeah, we had a look. You know, we were waiting for our dinner table and, you know, you have a look around. And to me, it's a much better use of the open-air concourse than Chef Mickey's is because it looks really cool and, you know, you can walk through one end to t'other. And I like it. I think it's nice.
It's nice in there because they've got a huge array of the toys and things like that. You can get the big train sets and the monorail sets in there as well. They also have the big Spaceship Earth playset all together in there. They have a lot of snow globes. They had a huge amount of pirate stuff and cars stuff when we were last in there as well. They have sort of plush and cushions and all those sort of bits and pieces. There's a nice mixture of all the stuff, I think, that they have in there. It is all, obviously, it's very character-centric, a lot of the stuff that they have in that particular store. But they have quite a wide range of pins in there as well. We spent quite a bit of time looking through at the pins when we were in there, and they're sort of right in the middle of the shop. What are you laughing at?
You're just a closet pin trader now.
I really am not a closet pin trader, I promise you.
You're an open-air pin trader.
Open-air pin trader, stand out. Anybody want this one? Don't throw pins from the top of the Contemporary either. That'll hurt. Also, there's a wide range of pins in there as well. It's quite a nice store. It's open. It's less like a store and more like they've just built two walls that you can walk through. But I like it in there. It's nice. I think that's nearly everything. Oh, yes, a couple of other tips for you as well for viewing the fireworks. If you want to watch them for free without paying the expensive price of California Grill, you can also head... if you've got a tower room that faces the Magic Kingdom, you've got a perfect opportunity to sit outside on your balcony and watch them from there. If I remember rightly, they still pump the music in via the television if you have it on the right channel.
Mm-hmm.
But also, if you're going up to the 14th floor concierge level, you can watch the fireworks from a balcony off the lounge there as well. There is another viewing spot which is on the north side of the tower. It's sort of just outside of the fourth floor. It's quite a large area. There's several benches that face the Magic Kingdom, so you can sit down and watch it there. There is a monorail track that does obscure part of the fireworks display, but again, it's another unique place to watch that as well. And as I think we mentioned with the Polynesian, there's one other thing that you can see from the Contemporary. And actually, if you're watching the fireworks from the top of the California Grill, you can actually see this just before the fireworks start usually, and that is the electrical water pageant that goes by every day. It circles Seven Sea Lagoon and Bay Lake, and it goes past the resort and the Polynesian. You can watch that from California Grill, which is fantastic. It is quite high up, but if you've got a really good zoom lens on your camera, you can get some really good photos from up there as well. And obviously you can watch that from the beach on the Bay Lake side of the resort as well, which is a good place to watch it. But guest services will give you an idea roughly of when the pageant is going to pass the resort at that particular time. I think that's pretty much everything. I think we've exhausted the Contemporary. Can you think of anything else that we haven't covered to do with the Contemporary resort?
No.
Craig?
No.
I can't think of anything at all. I think, well, we've spent nearly an hour on the Contemporary, I think. So I think that's more than enough time for one hotel. So thank you very much.
Always a pleasure. Never a chore.
Never a chore, he says. We've been getting in the way of his galaxy bar eating. Thank you, guys.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Is the build-up to Mouse Vent. It's not long to go. The creatives are working to bring you great audio. Hi, I'm Joseph Carter, the voice of Mouse Vent. I'd like to invite you to join me and all Disney fans to a festive community project. This year, for the first time, 24 audio contributors from 24 different projects are joining together to create www.mousevent.com. Over the first 24 days of September, Mouse Vent will be releasing 24 audio tracks created specially for this project. Below our calendar on the site, you'll be able to see who is involved. Thank you for listening, and I'd like to wish you a very merry Mouse Vent.
Well, that brings episode 55 of the podcast to a close. Thank you once again for joining us. We thank you, as always, our sponsors, Columbus Vacation Villas. You can find them at columbus-vacations.com. Over there for all your villa needs, car hire, all sorts of things like that, whether you're renting, whether you own a property that needs looking after. Thanks again to Juz and Craig for joining me. Haven't had both of them on for a couple of shows, so it's great to have everybody back and everybody taking part, as always, as well as eating a lot of galaxy. Make sure to email us your questions, comments and suggestions to podcast@disneybrit.com, and don't forget you can still ring our voicemail 01212882858 in the UK and Europe, and 407-545-7980 if you're in the US. Make sure to check out our website still, www.disneybrit.com. On the homepage there, you get all of the latest Disney news that posts up there when that is released. You can check that out. You can also listen to this show online, as well as loads of other great things, including links to our forum at ironorlando.com/forum. Please head over there. Sign up if you haven't. We have loads of great little chats and bits and tips of information on there as well. You can, of course, check out our Facebook page and our Disney Brit fan page over on Facebook. Friend up myself, Juz and Craig over there as well. We're posting all sorts of bits and pieces. And of course, thank you to those people who continue to leaving reviews on iTunes. It's great that people appreciate the show enough to do that. We ask you to continue to do that if you think the show is worthy enough, but only, of course, if you think the show is worthy enough. You can also go over to our YouTube channel, Disney Brit Podcast, over there on YouTube. You can also find over there links to all of the videos that we've released as vidcasts, including the special Terrorific Night one that we did from our trip out to Disneyland Paris. You can, of course, also listen to our new radio shows over on 1410 AM Heartbeat Radio in Central Florida between 11 PM and 1 AM in the UK. That's on a Friday evening. That's 6 to 8 PM EST. And you can listen at heartbeatradiousa.com and listen online, live, and also visit our website, destinationd.info, as well as download the show on iTunes. And, of course, check out our sister podcast, The Ion Orlando Radio Show. And that's pretty much it. So all it leaves me to tell you is the next edition of this show is going to be out on Wednesday, the 8th of December. Until then, I'll see you.